I believe it's a real honor that we have Rabbi Andy and my brother Elhanan with us tonight. But Rabbi Andy is a very good friend of mine. We know him for quite a few years. And excuse me, Sherlock, I welcome you also. But Rabbi Andy is a good friend of mine. He came to the mountains a few years ago. And he was led to our house on a Saturday morning. And we do Torah study in our house on Saturday morning. And Andy was surprised to find us in the mountains. But God led my wife and I here 12 years ago from New York City. That's a long way to come to the mountains. And since then, Rabbi Andy and I have been very good friends. More than just friends, almost brothers in the Lord. I see him as a close friend. And so that's why we're here tonight, because of his guests that God has sent us, I believe, from Israel. And so I welcome my brother tonight, and I'll let you welcome our guest. Amen.
Okay, good. We really thank Pastor Paul and Marion for opening this up for us on this Saturday night and calling this meeting together, and for their faithfulness in coming out here and starting this work. It's awesome what you're doing. One time I thought, what are we doing in this small area of the world? It's not an important area. It's not the center of commerce. And then God said to me, you know what? Bethlehem was not a major city. And there was 12 guys that weren't from a major city that changed the world. So, anyway, I'm going to introduce to you in a second Mr. Elhanan Glazer, member of Knesset, and also Dr. Sherlock Bally. And I just want to tell you for a second, if I may, just briefly, what's going on, and why we're here, and why they are here, and what an important part that you have. This is historic. That this caliber of world leader would come to this part of the country. And it's also historic the work that Dr. Bally is doing. So, in a nutshell and briefly, Dr. Bally is from the Caribbean. There's 14 nations in the Caribbean. That's important to remember. Because the Palestinians went to the United Nations and said, we want you to declare Palestine as a nation without regard to borders. There was no borders described or anything like this. Because what are they really after is to push us into the sea. So it was vetoed in the Security Council. Thank God. But they went to the floor, directly to the floor of the United Nations. And here, every country has one vote. America has one vote, Canada has one vote. 14 nations of the Caribbean, each one has one vote, 14 of them. And if the Palestinian vote is taken and they have a 3/4 majority, then it passes, and there's nothing anyone except Hashem, the Lord, can do about it. The last time I was with Dr. Bally, the Palestinians had 16 more votes than they needed. In other words, if the vote was taken on that day, the long and the short of it is that Israel will be no more. Now understand that Israel would be the first one to vote for a Palestinian state if it made sense, if it had borders that were defendable and it made sense. Israel would be the first one to step up. But to have a Palestinian state unilaterally declared with no borders, Israel will be no more. So Dr. Bally is tasked by the Knesset, and the Knesset is like the U.S. Senate. He's tasked by the Knesset to go to these nations and get them to change their vote from against Israel to for Israel. So if you do the math, you know, if someone's voting against Israel, if they change their vote to abstaining or for Israel, that's a two-vote swing. He was tasked with, and God willing, he'll tell you a little bit more about it, going to these nations and bringing the members of Knesset to the nations to meet with the prime ministers, the presidents, the kings, to try to get them to change their vote so that Israel can still be a nation. And since the last time I spoke with him, there's been 10 nations that have switched their vote. He's got a lot of work to do, but a very short window to do it. No one knows when the vote will come to the floor. No one knows. But we suspect it'll be after the U.S. elections. It's that important. It's that critical. And maybe Dr. Bally will go a little deeper into it. But this is historic. We have the opportunity, just like 12 guys from an unknown town, from a backwater town, changed history. I will tell you that is the task that is on you today. It's that weighty. It's that heavy. It's that important. So, now, Dr. Glazer, member of Knesset, chief advisor to the Knesset on foreign relations. And if I'm not mistaken, weren't you a nuclear physicist by training? Maybe. Who knows, huh? Maybe CNN knows. Exactly, CNN knows. Exactly. So this is a tremendous thing that a member of Knesset would be here in this part of the world, let alone in Marion, North Carolina. This is historic. So I would like to introduce to you Elhanan Glazer.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, friends of Israel, it is my great pleasure to be with you here today. My name is Elchanan Glazer. I am a former member of the Knesset, the Israel's national parliament, and I am a member of the Knesset Christian Allies Caucus and chief advisor of the Knesset Forum on International Relations. I come here before you today to thank you for your steadfast support of our country. The love and the support you give the Jewish people and the State of Israel is a blessing. I believe that it is important to raise awareness of the extraordinary support Israel receives from its Christian allies. This is why I join the Knesset Christian Allies Caucus, and I take my responsibilities as a member very seriously. The caucus aims to forge direct lines of communication between Knesset members and Christian leaders, organizations, and political representatives in Israel and around the world. The Congressional Israel Allies Caucus have put forth an important legislation that would make it illegal for the United States to recognize any other capital in Jerusalem other than that of the Jewish state. It is no small part due to our Christian friends in the United States that our two countries share such a strong bond. Our common Judeo-Christian values and heritage are the source of the strong ties between us. This year, as Israel celebrated its 64th anniversary, Israelis and friends of our country worldwide reflected on the phenomenal accomplishment of our tiny nation in relatively short amount of time. Israel has become a scientific powerhouse with achievements too numerous to mention in fields ranging from high-tech to medicine. Our humanitarian efforts are unrivaled for so small a country. Yet, despite its successes, our country's security status is precarious, and we rely on the support of our Christian friends as much as ever. Alongside the constant security threat, much of the world is pressuring Israel to sacrifice her territorial integrity for a prospect of a false peace. To add insult to injury, they are campaigning to split the holy city Jerusalem in two. As Christians, the issue of Jerusalem should resonate in your hearts. God instructs us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The question of Jerusalem is not a political matter. It is a biblical issue, one that is cherished by Jews and Christians around the world. Allowing for Jerusalem to be divided would fly in the face of the prophets and would lead to the eradication of freedom of religion in a city of worship for billions of people around the world. As former Knesset member, I came here before you today to say on behalf of my people, Toda, thank you. It is great pleasure to be here, to be together, strong and united. I stand here before you today, a hopeful man, proud to be Jewish, proud to be Israeli, proud to be there at the birth of Israel, and proud of our alliance with the United States. Israel, like America, was conceived as an idea born in defense of history, creating a new world by drawing on the values of the past and the innovation of the future. Friend, the restoration of Jewish statehood after 2,000 years in exile is an historic miracle. We started as a doubt and wound up as a certainty. We had to fight 6 wars in 6 decades of our existence. We did not lose one. We never will. We cannot afford it. We had to defend ourselves. Self-defense is our right and obligation. With little land, water, or resources, Israel grew tenfold in population and 50-fold in gross domestic product. Israel's high-tech and innovation enriches the world. Its agriculture makes deserts green. Israel built new villages, new cities, new universities, new theaters, and new cultural centers. Our children are speaking the language of the prophets. Hebrew literature is flourishing. From a dispersed people, we became a united democracy. No day of war ever interrupted a day of democracy. Some people ask me, what is the secret of Israel? My answer is, the secret of Israel is that we had nothing. We came to a small piece of land. There was space, but the land was refusing. Swamps in the north and desert in the south. We did not have much water. You know, we have in Israel only 2 lakes, one dead and the other is dying, the Dead Sea and the Lake of Galilee. We have a famous river, the Jordan River, that contains more fame than water. You know, it is not a river for irrigation, it's a river for praying. We do not have any natural resources, neither oil nor gold or any other natural resources, really nothing. And yet we have created the best agriculture on earth. Our yields are 10 times higher than any other country, and the use of water is a quarter of any other country. What does it mean that we discovered the greatest natural resource? The greatest natural resource is the human being. If you have it, you are rich. If your people are poor, the land is poor. So I believe that everyone can do it. We are not superheroes. I think we made super effort. I think fighting hunger, starvation, and poverty can be done. It depends on us. What we can do, everybody can do. Dear friends, the Middle East is undergoing its greatest storm. With horrible bloodshed in Syria, where a tyrant is killing his people, killing children. We urge the West to act immediately to put an end to the violence in Syria. The massacre of men, women, and children by the Assad regime, the murders that have been taking place in Syria for the past year, mandate global action. The brutal crackdown on pro-democracy protesters in Syria is another opportunity to see the pattern behavior by some of our neighbors. It explains why we need a strong military that is ever vigilant in Israel's defense. The Palestinians are our neighbors for life. Peace can and must be achieved. A peace based on two-state solution, a Jewish state, Israel, and an Arab state, Palestine. The principle of a two-state solution is a paramount Israeli interest. We want to preserve an Israel that is Jewish, democratic, and attractive. A peace with the Palestinians that it is a dream for both of us is a nightmare to the Ayatollahs in Iran. Iran's pursuit of nuclear arms is a frightening manifestation of the radical Islamic agenda. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has made no secret of his wish to wipe Israel and the Jewish people out of the map. Recently, he hosted an Holocaust denial conference aimed at denying the legitimacy of the State of Israel. 68 years after the Holocaust, we are witnessing another regime which seeks to annihilate the Jewish people. Iran is the center, the sponsor, the financer of the world terror. Iran is a danger to the entire world. It threatens Berlin as well as Madrid, Delhi as well as Bangkok, not just Israel. Israel says nuclear weapon in the hands of Iran would threaten the Jewish state's survival. Time is running out to avoid military action. It must be stopped, and it will be stopped. Israel experienced the horrors of war. It does not seek it. Peace is always our first option. But if we are forced to fight, believe me, we shall prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, the quest for knowledge defines Jewish history. Judaism is a constant debate. It is about asking the right questions. I believe Jews are never satisfied because they are always seeking new answers, a better tomorrow, tikkun olam. I believe that the next decade will be the most scientific, the most dramatic chapter in human history. It will expose possibilities that today sound like science fiction. Its center will be brain research. The more we shall know about ourselves, the more we shall be able to control ourselves. We pray for peace for every country, for every people, for every child. We pray that they will be able to escape the danger of starvation, the danger of death. There is no need for war. There is no need for hatred. And all of us can be better people. My greatest hope is that a dawn will rise when every man and woman, Israeli or Palestinian, Syria or Lebanese, young people wherever they are, will wake up and be able to say to themselves, I am free to be free. And you, as spiritual leaders, please approach the soul. Maybe the soul contains more wisdom than the brain. Our greatest king, who was considered the wisest person on earth, Solomon, used to say, I have the wisdom of my heart. The heart can be wise as well. I believe all of us together can try and bring hope and stability and peace to all human people, to all humankind, and to all religions. Democracy in our times means not only that there are equal rights, but to have the equal right to be different. Friends, in a world of science and knowledge, the Jewish people and Israel have an exciting role to play, much to contribute. Ladies and gentlemen, America was, is, and will remain the indispensable leader of the free world, the indispensable friend of our people. Today, more than ever, the world needs America. I would also encourage you to support the activity of Dr. Sherlock Bailey and the Caribbean Allies Foundation that is working tirelessly to garner votes for Israel in the United Nations by working with Christian leaders and politicians all over the Caribbean. Concerning the work he is doing for Israel, it has a direct impact at the international efforts of Israel. It is here that Sherlock Bailey has been appointed to do a vital task. He has been appointed by the Christian Allies Caucus of the Knesset as the executive director of 19 countries. He has been asked to visit the prime ministers and politicians of this nation, seeking votes in the United Nations for Israel. It is the only project of its kind in the world, and already history has been made. For the first time in Israel's history, a Caribbean country has stood with Israel because of his visit to the nation. These votes are of vital importance to Israel. Christians are our closest friends, and we are very thankful for your stand and prayer. Dr. Sherlock Bailey is also gathering thousands of Christians in the Caribbean to taking a stand for Israel. This prayer and stand and support of Christians is a great consolation to the land of Israel. And any help you can give him is a great blessing to Israel. As a Jew, I express my heartfelt appreciation to you for your prayer and friendship. It says in the book of Genesis, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Christians have bestowed their blessing on the Jewish people. And I believe that God will likewise bless you together with us. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for standing with Israel. And thank you for hosting me here today. I look forward to seeing you next year in Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, soon I will return home. I return home much more hopeful, much more encouraged. Great challenges and promising opportunities await us. Thank you for your love and commitment and America's great friendship. Thank you very much. God bless America. God bless Israel. And God bless you all. Toda, shalom, and Shavua Tov. Toda.
Thank you. Can somebody give the Lord a shout of praise? Hallelujah. My name is Sherlock Bally. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I'm the executive director of 19 countries where we travel to seek change for Israel. Do you believe that can happen?
Yes.
Well, it is happening.
Amen.
So we'll be telling you a little bit about that today. I would like to spot read some scriptures to you today. I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 36 and Amos chapter 9. All right. Very important. When you come to church, you have a Bible. Amen. How many of you go to Macy's without your pocketbook? Yeah. Don't think so. Rabbi, thank you for your diligent efforts on behalf of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Pastor and Marion, Pastor Paul, thank you for the open door. Tonight, a miracle is going to happen. And you will see. So let me read to you from Ezekiel 36, maybe 37, and Amos chapter 9. I usually speak from one verse, usually two words, one word. I want to, for emphasis sake, to read this to you in spots. Are you ready? Ezekiel 36. Let's go from verse 18. Got that? Ezekiel 36, 18. Wherefore I poured my fury. 19. I scattered. 21. I had pity. 23. I will sanctify. 24. I will take you. Verse 24. I will gather you. I will bring you. Verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. 26. A new spirit will I put in you. A new heart will I put in you. Verse 27. I will put my spirit in you. 29. I will save you. 30. I will multiply the fruit. I wish I had somebody that's getting a picture. Are you getting a picture? God said about Israel, I will. It doesn't matter who says I won't. If you think that God is waiting on your prayer to do stuff, you're nuts. Because the first meeting to be eradicated from church life is prayer. You call a prayer meeting, who shows up? At least three: God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, and the pastor. But you call a potluck supper and all of y'all show up. Now, y'all look at me. Look at me. You are guilty. You are guilty. We show up for everything except prayer. So trust me, God isn't waiting on your prayer to do his stuff. Oh, can I tell you something? He was God before you came. He'll be God long after you go. Oh boy, I think I lost two or three people right here. I wish I had somebody to say, God will. Do you believe God has the power to divinely determine what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, because he's the only I am? Listen, I represent Israel, but I'm Pentecostal. And they live with it. Full of the Ruach HaKodesh. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. I could read much from verse 37 because that's really an enormous text. I won't. Go to Amos chapter 9. It's enormous. During this week, I'll be speaking some revelation God has given me recently on Ezekiel 37. It's astonishing stuff. Praise him, praise him. I feel his presence here today. His place, is it? I love the name. We just spoke at a church called the Vision Casters. I love that name. Yeah. Ezekiel chapter 9. Are you ready? Sorry, Amos chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. Read with me. Amos chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. Read with me. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. Say, I will bring. They shall build the waste city. They shall inhabit them. They shall plant the vineyards. See, there are certain components to covenant theology. Seven. You'll be hearing about them this week as I travel. Seven components to covenant. Hear this. They shall drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit. Now, I love verse 15. I will plant them upon their land. And they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord. This book has 10,385 verses that are prophetic. 27% of this book is prophetic. Take all the scriptures on heaven, hell, the Holy Spirit, and salvation. God said more about the future than all of them put together. So when people profess ignorance about the end time, they are eradicating 20%, 27% of this book. That's not all. There are 613 laws, mitzvot, in the Bible. You know about 10. 262 of them are dependent on the rebuilding of a temple for their fulfillment. All these scriptures that are prophetic depends on four things. One, Israel being a nation. Two, the people being in their land. Three, Jerusalem being their capital. Four, the aspiration to build a third temple. Any attack of the enemy on any one of these things makes this book a lie. Any breaking of any one of those four makes God a liar. But when the nations of the world cumulatively come together against those four things, not one, they attack Israel being a nation. They attack the people being in their land. They attack the right to have a capital, you know, Washington, D.C., District of Jerusalem, D.C., David City. Yeah? Yes? When Israel is attacked as a nation, the Jews are attacked as a people, the city is attacked as a capital, and the Temple Mount is attacked by wanting to continuously control the Temple Mount, then you know that hell is in a panic. Because the closer you get to the coming of the Messiah is the more incendiary, it is the more powerful, it is the more pronounced, it is the more assaulting, it is the more attacking. The minions of hell will become against the city of Jerusalem and the land of Israel. But I bring news for you today. If you are under covenant, if God has made an agreement with you, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you, you shall condemn. Let me put it another way. If God before you, no man can be against you. Let me put it another way. If you are... I don't know if you want me to get loosed here tonight. Huh? I don't know if you want me to get loosed up in this place tonight. Huh? If you want some information, let me give you some information. Genesis 12, 7, Genesis 13, 14 to 18, Genesis 17, 19 to 20, and Genesis 28, 14, 15, 16, and 18 says this. Number one, that land I give to Abraham. Number two, that land I give to Isaac. Number three, that land I give to Jacob. Number four, that land I give for an everlasting possession. Number five, that land I give forever. So God not only decided that he's the owner of the land, God decided that he will give the land. God decided to whom he'll give the land, and then God decided how long he'll give them the land. My God, that sounds like definition to me in this house today. So I've got news for you today. Who do these Johnny-come-lately people think they are that they can divide up the land? Moses came. Pharaoh tried it. He ended up drowned. Jezebel tried it. She ended up being dog meat. Nebuchadnezzar tried it. He ended up eating cows and grass. Somebody better say, yeah! My Lord, it's a land under covenant. Let me give you a little information today. The world says to Israel, not to Washington or to Marion, but the world says to Israel, give up your land. Well, two world wars were caused because little places divided up land. The world says, the United Nations. I wrote something down from the United. I wrote something down, and I hope I can find it, because I need to read it to you here today. Have you ever wrote something and put it away so good that it eludes you at a time of importance? It's somewhere in here. And I am insistent that it won't beat me, and I will find it, because it's important for you. Here it is. The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said and reiterated that the world body expects Israel to immediately. See, you don't know what's happening. CNN means simply certainly not news. He says to the world body, Israel is to immediately surrender to internationally backed Arab demands that it must relinquish all claims to its heartland and half of the ancient capital of Jerusalem. Tell you in this news is that if Israel surrenders the pre-67 borders, please listen to me for a minute. Her midsection of her land is the size of the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport or the size of the Chesapeake Bridge. What they don't tell you is if Jerusalem is divided, Christian people lose access to the Via Dolorosa, Calvary, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives, the Kedron Valley, the Eastern Gate, and the Temple Mount. Now, the first thing you say is, but we've already lost Bethlehem, and we've already lost Hebron. So it is not enough for Pentecostal people to sit in church and say, no, we better rise up in the name of our Lord. We better rise up in prayer and intercession and with a standard that we have never had before. And we better declare before God and before every minion of hell, we are not willing to surrender the holy sites of the nation of Israel because they are also our holy sites. So look, you see, folks, you got to understand, for 39 years, this stuff is in my head. I have a photographic memory that you will get to find out. I cannot teach you in half an hour what took me 39 years to learn, but I can give it a shot. Huh? All right, now listen to this. This is what the world is saying. The fanatical Islamics, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Iran, is saying, you have no right to exist. The Islamic world, which now is incendiary because of the Muslim Brotherhood, what is called in America the Arab Spring, is a fanatical fling. They are now saying that Cairo is not our capital, Jerusalem is. That's what the president said. Cairo is not our capital, so another realm of the world is coming after Jerusalem. America is now saying there must be some accommodation and division of the holy city. Now, this is what confounds me. Please listen to what I'm saying. Israel has no gold, as he said, no silver, no brass, no iron, no oil yet. Yeah, some of you all didn't catch that, but next week you will when the bread gets baked. Hear this. She has no oil yet. She's not on a major trade route. She's not on a major sea route. The River Jordan, compared to the River Nile, is a canal. Nothing that makes a nation physically important, Israel has yet. She is the most coveted, the most demanded, the most marginalized, the most sanctioned, and the most assaulted nation in the entire world. I need you to answer a question. Why was Barbarossa magnetized? Why was Napoleon magnetized? Why was Xerxes magnetized? Why was Alexander magnetized? Why was Stalin magnetized? Why did Hitler kill 6 million Jews in 7 years? You've got to tell me, sir, why 17 nations have been magnetized to a land that has nothing physical that they would want. See, my first name is Sherlock. So when I get done with you, the case will be clear. If the battle isn't physical, well, on its very deepest level, the battle with Hamas, Hezbollah, Mujahideen, Islamic Jihad, the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine has little to do with Jerusalem and little to do with Jews. It has everything to do on its deepest level with a spiritual conflict. And that is this, the battle between God and the battle against the devil for the integrity of the Word of God. The battle against God's ideology and religious ideology. The battle to nullify the Abrahamic covenant and to abort the coming of the Messiah. Listen to me. If Israel is divided, Jerusalem, just the city. Daniel 9, 26, 27, Haggai 2, 9, Micah 4, 1 to 4, Luke 21, 24 to 29, Matthew 24, 24 to 38, and Revelation 11, 1 and 2 cannot come to pass. You know what that means? One, there will be no temple built. Number two, there will be no sacrifice. Number three, there will be no national salvation, which is Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, Romans 11, 26, 27, and 28. So the attempt of the enemy to hurt them is not just the attack against a race. It's the attack on their God. The attack on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I got a word for you today. My God has more power in his little finger than hell has in all its power. Somebody better give him a shout of glory. Somebody better say yay in this place today. God will keep them. God will prosper them. God will elevate them. Now listen. When I'm in a Baptist church, I'll be the best Baptist you know. But when I'm in a Pentecostal church, I'll be plumb loco.
Well,
I will stand behind the pulpit in the Baptist church and preach with power. Look. Look. We sit here saying, oh God, if we have another 4 years of administration. That's what you say. Listen to what God says. Could Pharaoh stop Moses? Could Ahab stop Elijah? Could Nebuchadnezzar stop Daniel? What's your problem? I don't like what's going on as much as you. All right, all right. Let me show you something. Can I give you the other side of the story for 10 minutes? I wish I had time to talk to you about America and Israel. You'd be astonished at the revelation. I found North Carolina in the Bible. No, no, no. And you know I'm smart. But if you want to know what it is, you've got to get my stuff. The back. Let me just give you a little story, and I'll tell you where North Carolina is found in the Bible, and you will be astonished. Look, I don't have time. I don't know why I bring notes. I have all this stuff here. It's a carnal crutch, I think. Look, can I tell you what God is doing in the land of Israel? Can I? Look, my friend. Here is a land that God said, many prophecies. If you want, you can write these scriptures down so you can study them, because it's Genesis 12, 1 to 3, 13, 1 to 7, 15, 1 to 10, 17, 19, and 20. Then Amos chapter 9, verse 11, Micah 4, 1 to 4, Daniel 9, 26, 27, Zechariah 1, 14, 17, Zechariah 2, 5, 8, and 10. Then you go to Joel chapter 3, verse 2, Zechariah 14, 1 to 4. Then after that, you go to Matthew 24, 32 to 34, Luke 21, 24 to 29. Go to Revelation 1, 11, Matthew chapter 24, 32 to 39. Then go to Revelation 16, 12, Revelation 9, 16. That will give you a little idea of some of the prophetic things in the Word of God. But I want to give you some of these that I didn't mention. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 6, Isaiah 27, 4, 5, and 6, Isaiah 41, 4, 5, and 6, Isaiah chapter 62, verse 4, verse 7, and verse 8, and Isaiah 66, 8. These are some verses that you can study and find out what God says about Israel. Number one, God said, I shall make you like the Garden of Eden. Number two, you shall become the glory of all lands. Number three, you shall flood the world with your fruit. I like number four and five. By the way, there are 62 things, and I can give you all of them tonight if you'd like, but you probably wouldn't want to be here for another half an hour anyway, so. Say, no watches in here. There's a big one facing me right there, and you are telling me there's no watches in here. So let me tell you, this is the one I like. Isaiah 62, 4, 5, and 6. He said, you shall no longer be termed. You shall no longer be termed forsaken. Neither shall you be called desolate. But you shall be called Hephzibah and Beulah. Hephzibah means my delight. Beulah means my wife. Said. Let me give you a little story about Israel. Can I give you a little story about Israel? Do you believe Genesis 12, 1 to 3? Abrahamic covenant. I'll bless those who bless. I'll curse him that, and in thee shall all the families of the world be blessed. Do you believe that kind of stuff? Do you believe the success of a nation depends on the stand they take for Israel? Pastor, I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be in the next short while, and I say to you in a matter of short weeks, an explosion of Abrahamic blessing in this house. You take these words and you record them today and the date. There's going to be an explosion of Abrahamic blessings in your lives, in your hearts, in this ministry. And you, I'll show you the word of God. Is anybody ready to see what God is saying? I gave you a little perspective of the world. Let me give you God's perspective. Israel is number one. Say she's 64 years old. Say 64. 64. She's the only nation that's been through 8 wars, 6, one in every decade, 1948, 56, 67, 73, 50, then 82, then Hezbollah, Intifada, and now the recent thing that's going on with the fanatics of the world. She's won them all, the only nation in the entire world. She is one nation surrounded by 22, yet she's called aggressor. She's 7 million people surrounded by 235 million people. She's called aggressor. She has 10,000 square miles, of which 6,000 is arid desert. They have 5.2 million square miles of oil-rich land. Israel is called aggressor. Yet, Israel's per capita income is 40% more than Saudi Arabia. I know you didn't hear that. Syria is 10 times the size of Israel. Israel has 10 times the economy of Syria. Israel has the number one air force in the world, the number two army in the world, the number one secret service in the world, the number one generic medicine in the world, Teva, the number one research on terrorism, the number one research on machinery relating to terrorism, number three in patents per capita, number four in publications per capita, number one in merging nanorobotics to medicine, number three in information technology, rival in Silicon Valley. Somebody better shout hallelujah to God. After 64 years, number one in Nobel Prizes, 157 since 1901. Israel, all of a sudden, has exploded. By the way, number one in professionals per capita in our world. She has the same gross, she has the same per capita income as the country of England. Wait. Oh, but that's not all. Do you know what her unemployment was last year? 5%. You know what ours was? 8.5 to 14, according to who you talk to. If you talk to the politicians in power, it was 8. If you talk to the realists, 11 to 12. Number two, would you like to know what her inflation rate was last year? 4.8%. You know what ours was? Double digits. Remember, she's in a desert, surrounded by 22 nations that want to wipe her out every day. Oh, by the way, do you know how much her economy grew last year? 2.9%. You know how much ours grew? 1.7. And remember, she's in a desert. But I've got news for you today, brother. When you are under covenant, everything's going to be all right. How many of you are under covenant today? Would you wave your hands and say hallelujah to the Lord? Can I prophesy over your lives and your homes and your families and your sons and your daughters? And may I declare to you that covenant is going to change. By the way, you don't believe this? First, if you don't believe this, you're nuts. You're 4 French fries shy of a Happy Meal. If you don't believe this, you're a dipstick. Oh, yeah. 27% of the Bible. Simply put, there are three scarcities or lacks, L-A-C-K-S, in our world. Three. Drinking. Water. Topsoil. And bee pollination. 90% of 4 major bee species in America is gone. Would you like to hear the three things that are abundant in Israel? You'd never guess.
Oil.
Water.
She has the largest desalination water plant in the world. In Ashkelon. Number two, she has trillions of dollars of potash in the Dead Sea, which is topsoil. And her bees produce more honey per hive than any nation in the world. The three things the world lacks, the desert warriors have in abundance, because covenant tells you when people that are not under covenant are in lack, people that are under covenant are going to be blessed and touched and healed and delivered, and they will abound and have abundance. Somebody better say amen. Let me add another little component to the little puzzle. When the Berlin Wall fell, they asked Israel not for economic things, money, or aircrafts, or weapons. They asked Israel for cows. Oh, wow. You know, moo. Yes. Yeah. The moo. Yes. Let me tell you why. Israel's cows produce more milk per cow per year in a desert. the international average per cow per year is 5,500 liters per cow per year. Israel's average is 12,000 liters per cow per year in the desert. She has more honey per hive. She's a land flowing in milk and honey. Now, if you don't think that that is worthy of magnifying the name of Almighty God, that He has the power. Look, I have so much to tell you. I want to suggest something to you, and I'm going to close in 10 minutes. Check me. Look, if you don't like Jewish people, and you have an apathetic approach to Jewish people, I have no argument with you. If that's what you want to be. First of all, you're cursed. Huh? You're cursed according to God's word. That's number one. And number two, I suggest that you abort their products. In other words, if you don't like Jews, stop using their products. Such as the polio pill and the polio vaccine. Streptomycin and penicillin, chlorohydrate for convulsion, and the Wasserman test for syphilis. Stop using it. Oh, by the way, while you are at it, by the way, who invented the car in America? Henry Ford. Except you're totally wrong. He invented the mass assembly line for the car. The internal combustion engine was discovered by two German Jews. Would you like to hear their names? Otto. Otto and Rudolf Diesel. Otto, you know? Did you get that? Otto, yeah, Otto. Otto car, Otto. And Diesel. But he had another friend, a German Jew buddy. He had a big logging business, a forestry. And this man wanted to bring his logs out quicker than with horses and, donkeys. He invented the pickup truck. We know about the pickup truck in Marion, don't we? Yeah. His name was Daimler. Chrysler and... There was another Jew, buddy. His daughter came to me and said, Daddy, would you please build a little engine so I can have a little car to drive around in? By the way, her name was Mercedes. You'd never guess what his name was. Benz. If you don't like Jews, you can't drive. I've got to confess, I'm a Jew lover. When Jesus came, he was a Jew. When he comes back, he ain't gonna be Gentile. In fact, according to Revelation 19, he'll be wearing his talit on the horse. It's called a vesture dipped in blood. Wish I could talk to you a little bit. Oh, by the way, let me give you one more point. Then I'll tell you about North Carolina. Then I will say good night. See, she said yes. Go ahead. Say good night. All right. Let me tell you this. Oh, I'm having so much fun today. Rabbi, I love to be with you and the people of God. I went to synagogue today for the first time in my life. Wow, what an experience. Never forget it. Never. They walked around out of that ark, that Torah piece. If you don't like Jews, when you turn on your computer, take off the Intel, take off the microprocessor. It came from, Israel. Then after you do that, take off the Intel microchip. It was formed in Israel. And after you do that, you can't use Microsoft because it was made in Israel. And after you've set up your Zion-free computer, disarm your firewalls. They were made in Israel. Take out your virus protectors. They were made in Israel. And you know, your little cell phone, when you go to take a picture, you can't take the picture because the chip was made in Israel. And you can't use VoIP or Skype. Israel. It was made in Israel. And you can't use Google. It runs on an Israeli algorithm. Israel. Can God please hear you the word? Can God take a little group of people in a country that is a micro dot, a desert with towns like Bethlehem, a people under assault and attack, marginalized, and make them a blessing to a world?
Yes.
We've been grafted.
Yeah, right.
To greatness. I don't have time to talk about that. A great revelation I have on the grafting in. Every day. All right. Let me just tell you something. Can God make this group here a blessing to a world?
Yes.
Oh, you said that so porously.
You can do it.
Yes, we can do it.
The water boy said that, brother.
Oh, okay.
You know the strange thing about you Christians, us Christians? We sit down and watch fanatical Islamic strap bombs to them and kill people, and we can't get some of you to say amen in church. Why do you complain about Islam? That was nice, wasn't it? That was nice, wasn't it? Yeah, we can't get some of you to lift your hands and say amen, but fanatical Islamics are strapping bombs and killing people. Now watch, watch. Don't look at people. Look at me. We have got to get serious about this business. Our nation is in trouble. Country, I wish I could talk to you about America. We were framed on a Judeo-Christian foundation. Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson wanted to be the seal of America the Jews leaving Egypt. Huh? On our Liberty Bell is the Torah, Leviticus 25:10. Proclaim liberty. The Constitution came from 100 church covenants that came from the Torah. That's why we believe in marriage still between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Somebody better shout amen. It's Hebraic. We believe in moral chosenness. Sean Hannity calls it exceptionalism. Yes. We believe in the moral justice, the love of God, the justice of God. Those are Torah principles.
Yes.
I wish I had time to talk to you so much. All right, let me quit. North Carolina and the Bible. You'll be shocked. It is my belief that North Carolina, am I in North Carolina?
Yes.
Is chosen by God to be one of the places to manifest an end time revival. But wait, I'm not just saying it. I'm going to show you the Mishkan, which is the tabernacle. Watch this. Rabbi, help me. As you enter the outer court, you come to the brazen laver. The brazen laver has two things, fire and blood. So what God wants you to know is that blood keeps you from hellfire. But the fire had three flames. Remember that. You come to the brazen laver, which is water, because when the priest came, he would get dirty on the outside. See, the brazen laver is for the inside, but the brazen altar for the inside, but the brazen laver for the... So God cleans you in and then cleans you out, and then you can go to the holy place. See, there are a lot of Christians that don't enter the holy place because they're not clean. God doesn't demand perfection. He demands cleanness.
Yes.
Wish I could talk to you. Now you come to the holy place. Watch this. You have the what? Table of showbread, which is bread. You have the golden lampstand, which is oil. Then you have the altar of incense, which was closest to the veil, which was made up of red incense and black coal. It happened to be number 5. Number 6 was the veil. Number 7 was the Ark of the Covenant made of gold. The issue is to get you from number 5 to number 7. But between 5 and 7, there is 6. 6 is the number of man. Paul says, my fleshliness is the veil. So in order for you to get from 5 to 7, you've got to pierce 6. So the reason there's a lot of Christians living in grace, not glory, is because their flesh is still active. You don't want to hear me. Oh, you don't want to hear me. And there were two cherubim stopping. Oh, God. All right, watch this. See, my problem, one of them. Ma'am, who is he? Watch this. Watch this. My problem is my mind is out here and my mouth is trying to catch up. You understand?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Somehow I don't believe you quite understand, ma'am. But look at this. If you take the map of America, okay, and rest it on the Mishkan, the tabernacle, would you like to see what you see? Watch this. I will come to this last, the brazen laver. Let's go to the brazen altar. The brazen laver, water is over the Mississippi River, waterway. The table of showbread, bread, is over Nebraska and Kansas, our bread basket. The golden lampstand, the menorah, which is oil, is over Oklahoma and Texas, our oil states. The altar of incense, which is red incense and black coal, is over Colorado, where there is red dirt, red river, and black coal. The veil is over the continental divide, and the Ark of the Covenant, which is golden wood, is over California, where they have the wood in the Yosemite called the Redwoods, and where the gold rush began. But here, the brazen altar, there were three flames of fire over three states, Kentucky, Tennessee, and North Carolina, where the first fires of Holy Ghost revival began. It is my belief that Almighty God in the Mishkan has prototyped a move of the Ruach HaKodesh before the coming of Yeshua. And this is what he says. North Carolina, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and then Colorado, and then Nebraska and Kansas, and then California are going to manifest outpourings of the power of the Holy Spirit before the coming of the Messiah. They will take a stand for the Mishkan. They will take a stand for the tabernacle. They will take a stand for the nation of Israel, and you will see an outpouring like you have never seen in your entire life. I believe it's there. I believe it's not coming. It is here. I believe it's explosive, and I believe miracles are happening. By the way, this rabbi is bringing the life-size tabernacle in a few weeks to Asheville. You better go. If I was here, I would be there with cameras and do a teaching there. I wish I could, but I'm going to be in another part of the world. Look, folks, do you think if I had a private agenda, I would be in Marion? I said that with the most respect. I said that most respectfully. Please. This man has been more than a friend to me. He's been a brother to me. Let me tell you this. And then I will say good night, and I want to do something that I'm sure no one has done in this house yet, because no one has had a former member of Knesset here. And after that, we have a presentation to make, Elhanan to Pastor. Listen carefully. When a vote comes for Israel in the UN, which is how often, Elhanan?
Every week.
Every week. It's always against Israel, against Israel. 125 to 140 votes against, 25 to 40 abstentions, Micronesia, the Marshall Islands, Costa Rica, America, 4, along with England, the Philippines, Canada. Canada is now more pro-Israel than America, and sometimes New Zealand, South Africa at times. I have been asked by 19 members of the Knesset to bring votes into the UN. But I'm just an ordinary Joe Blow, washed in the blood. My boast is I'm a son of God. I have nothing to boast in my flesh. I've authored 9 books. I have a PhD degree. You know that means post-hole digger. I have nothing to boast in, nothing in the flesh to boast in, but my connection with my Father.
America, 3,000 miles long, has one UN vote. It's veto, but one. The Caribbean, 1,400 miles long, has 14 UN votes. I lived in the Caribbean many years. Blue water, white sand, palm trees, great people. We had the only cinema in the country bought and paid for, transformed into a church. I was on television, on radio, speaking to thousands. And God asked me to leave blue water, white sand, palm trees, and all of that to move to Oklahoma. I've been in shock for 26 years. But I love that land. I love Oklahoma. I love this land. Why God would bestow the job on me to get votes, I don't understand. Well, we are the only ministry in the world, according to the Knesset, that has successfully got nations to stand with Israel. Listen to the miracle. Please listen. You can double check this on the website, because this sounds so amazing. If we get 6 more votes, a Palestinian state like they want it cannot be established. Because they need a 75% majority. Right now, folks, I have been speaking 2, 3, 4 times a day. You don't want to know what our schedule has been for the last month and a half. By the end of the next month, I would have spoken 102 times in 2.5 months. I'm taking 10 days off, and Gabriel won't be able to get in touch with me. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and that's the end. No one else. I'm shutting down for 10 days. But I have a task. I was held hostage by the fanatical Islamics at AK-47 gunpoint, and they said, "You're dead." And inside I said, "You can't scare me with heaven." I didn't say it loudly. I just said it in here, because I'm full of faith, not foolishness. "You can't scare me. I have taken a stand, and I will not back down. I stand for Israel. I stand for Jerusalem. I stand for the Abrahamic covenant. And the blessings of Abraham are on me and mine." We are here in Marion. They have a schedule to speak in some of the largest Baptist churches in the region. I don't understand. God is up to something supernatural. But I know this, tonight, if 12 men from isolated places that didn't even like each other, analyze them, they didn't like each other, could change a world after Pentecost, Shavuot, then surely God can use a group in Marion to shift history like you know it. It's impossible, Pastor, for you and your wife, Pastor Marion, to have such a love for Israel and not be city shakers, nation takers, and history shapers. Because you are looking at one nobody that isn't shifting human history. The Holy Ghost and I have already done it. And when we stepped into that nation, demons had a Malox moment and ran for cover. So you make up your mind whether you want to be an isotope occupying cubic inches of God's space and being irrelevant, redundant, and just there. Or are you ready to be an Esther or a Mordecai? Make your choice. Elhanan, would you come? What is he? He is a
Jew.
What is he?
He's my brother.
What is he?
He's a Jew.
He is a descendant of who?
Abraham.
What did Abraham give his descendants? The
land.
The Abrahamic
covenant.
What does he have? When he walked into this building, what did he walk in with?
The covenant.
the blessings of Abraham. Almighty God.
O Elohim Adirim.
From whom all blessings flow.
Shemimeno kol habrachot magiot.
Mighty God.
Elohim Adirim.
Everlasting Father.
Elohim shel kol haolam.
God of covenant.
Elohim shel habrit.
That you made with the Jews.
Sheasita im haYehudim.
We were scattered.
Hayinu mefuzarim.
Dying.
Metim.
Oppressed.
Melufulachim.
But you raised us up from the grave.
Aval eramta otanu mehakever. והחזרת אותנו הביתה. נהיינו מדינה מלאת ברכות, מלאת כוח ומוגנת. הכל בגלל הברית שלך. תודה לך, אלוהים אדירים. אבל יש כאן אנשים כאלה הערב שגם הם תחת הברית שלך, שאוהבים את ישראל, שאוהבים את ירושלים. אנחנו מתפללים הלילה שתיגע בפסטר הזה ואשתו, שתיגע בכנסייה הזו ובאנשים האלה. כל הברכות של אברהם יתפוצצו על החיים שלהם, על המשפחות שלהם, על הבנים שלהם, על הבנות שלהם, על העבודה שלהם ועל העסקים שלהם והכנסייה שלהם. לו יהי הברכות האלה שתשנה אותם, כווץ אותם וברך אותם. אמן.
May the blessings of Abraham abound in your lives, your sons and your daughters. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a generational blesser. Satan is a generational oppressor, but God is a generational blesser. May your lives be blessed. I just say this. I'm going to turn to Rabbi. He will and then turn to you and whatever. All I have to say is this. Look, I have one passion. My wife and I have been married for 36 years. Really 18, I've been gone half her life. Can I tell you what happened to me a few days ago? May I? Yes. My wife called me almost crying and said, I miss you so much. I've been gone for 3.5 weeks. By the time I go back home, I'll be gone for a month. She's crying after 36 years of marriage and say, I miss you so much. So we went to California, spoke Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, came to the hotel, changed, drove 6.5 hours all through the night to San Jose, boarded a flight, flew 7 hours to preach that night in Oklahoma. We were tired. I almost canceled the meeting because sometimes it's better to take care of God's man than God's money. But we went. He spoke and I spoke. The Holy Spirit came. A woman came to me after and said to my wife and I, God just spoke to me and said that you are weary. Well, the first thing I said is, there goes another one. 99% of the people in the world are weary. God don't have to say that. But what caught me was her next statement. Would you allow my husband and I to pay for a 10-day vacation on an Alaskan cruise for you and your wife? Oh, by the way, she paid for it. It's already paid for. And August the 3rd, we leave for the first time in 26 years to be alone for 10 days. The blessings of Abraham. Look, all I have to tell you is the Knesset, 19 members of the Knesset have commissioned me
But God supplies the need. They don't give a penny to help us. Tonight, you can give a Bless Israel offering that can change 19 nations, change the way Israel is looked at. Bless Israel. When's the last time you had that kind of opportunity in Marion? That's all I have to say. Isn't that sweet? God can speak to somebody to help us. This doesn't cost hundreds. This is astonishing. Our ministry flies them first class around the world because they are diplomats. You can't, they will not let them come from the Knesset if you fly coach. Our ministry pays for everything. But in return, Almighty God has opened doors I have never, you can't believe where we've gone. And what doors God, that's all I have to say. After that, Pastor Elhanan has a presentation to make to you. I have two announcements to make. I would like Rabbi to come and speak for a few minutes, if that's okay with you. Please.
So how many were blessed by these two gentlemen? You might now understand a little bit about what a rare thing this is. What a rare thing this is. This is never in your life, and maybe never again. But Pastor, if you would allow me now, and then maybe you would come up. I would like to just do something a little bit maybe unusual. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yikunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yisem lecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And may he grant unto you his peace.